Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
I want to share today, just because we are celebrating Thanksgiving this week and entering into the holiday season, and I've been thinking all week long about the power of Thanksgiving. And it's easy when you're celebrating a day called Thanksgiving to be reminded of, to just meditate on all that we can be thankful for. But the Bible actually says that we're to always be thankful, that we're always to give thanksgiving. And there's some seasons in our life when we honestly wonder if there is anything to be thankful for, but you can always find something, right? You can always find something. And when you do, when you find thanksgiving, something to be thankful for, then it changes the whole atmosphere, changes your heart, changes the way that you think. Thanksgiving is so powerful. And so I want to pray, and I want to give you some insight into the benefits of Thanksgiving. It's a very practical teaching this morning, because I want you to apply it, because it'll make your life way better than ever when you start putting these principles to work. So, Father, we thank you so much for the revelation of your Spirit being granted to us to show us your ways, to show us your heart, to show us your wisdom. And so we receive imparted wisdom from your word this morning as we look on this beautiful subject of thanksgiving. And Lord, we know that in heaven there's just an atmosphere of thankfulness and gratitude unto the one who forever, for all eternity, has stood in the gap for us and granted us salvation. And so we are reminded today of so much to be thankful for. So just expand that in our heart, enlarge it, blow it up on the inside of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, well, we'll just take one at a time here and just have a look at what the Bible teaches us. And the first benefit of Thanksgiving is that it gives you entrance into the gates and the courts of the Lord's presence. It gives you access into his presence. And in Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generation." And in the Old Testament, Moses was given a pattern for the tabernacle, and he was to build the tabernacle according to the blueprint that was given to him. He had to build it exactly like that, because the Old Testament pattern of the tabernacle was a picture of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross. And so when you lift up your heart in thanksgiving, you enter into, through the gate of that thanksgiving, you enter into the fullness of that covenant. You enter into presence. And I've seen, just practically speaking, if you ever have a dull day spiritually — has anyone ever had one of those days? Not just me, okay? When you ever have those dull moments and you think, man, I feel kind of dry, a great remedy is just thankfulness. Is you just look to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm so thankful for you. You are so amazing. I'm thankful for all that you've given me. I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for your kindness. I'm thankful for your extravagant blessing of salvation." And you start just lifting up thanksgiving to the Lord, and you know what happens? You just step right into presence, and all that dullness, all that dryness breaks off of you. It can happen just like that. And you know what? You can offer up thanksgiving anywhere. You could even be in the midst of a traffic jam, or you could be, you know, in a really difficult place. And if you open up yourself to thanksgiving, all of that will just dissipate, and you'll find yourself in the presence. I remember one day I was down in the San Diego area. We lived in Tijuana at the time. And so I was taking a friend of mine who had come down to visit our missions base there across to Coronado. And so there's a big bridge that you have to go across. And halfway across the bridge, my vehicle broke down. Right in the middle of the bridge. That is so dangerous, especially in that area because there's so much traffic. And my first reaction was fear. I'll just be honest with you. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm in a flash moment thinking of all the cars behind me and maybe crashing and causing other cars to crash. And the Lord says, be thankful. And I didn't even give it a second thought. I just said, thank you, Jesus, that you're looking after us. Thank you, Lord, that you're my shelter. Thank you, Lord, that you keep us safe. And all of a sudden, the presence of God filled the vehicle. And we just kept thanking the Lord. What else could we do anyways, right? We were helpless. We didn't even have cell phones back in that day. That was before cell phones. And so there we were. We couldn't do anything to save ourselves. But thanksgiving brought presence. And all of a sudden, this big tow truck, the kind that take trucks, you know, behind them, comes up beside us and puts his lights on, holds up the traffic behind him, stops everything and says, hey, I'll take care of you here. Hooked us up to his truck and took us across to the other side where we could get the car fixed. And we were totally okay. But in it, we were kept in perfect expectation of God doing great things because his presence surrounded us. And no matter what storm you're in, when you lift up your voice in thankfulness, it just brings his presence on the scene. And I'm telling you, I've seen this work over and over. I could write a book of testimonies on this one alone. The second benefit is thanksgiving will fill you with peace. And the story that I just shared with you, we were kept in perfect peace. We were kept in perfect peace. It says he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. Well, thanksgiving helps you keep your mind focused on the Lord. But in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, in the day that we're living in, especially if you happen to watch news, I actually don't watch it anymore. I just can't do that anymore. You know, people say, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep up with what's going on in the world? And I thought, well, Jesus will let me know if I need to know anything. But I just want to know him right now because I don't even know what to believe on the news anyways. I think a lot of it is exaggerated or twisted or misrepresented. So I might as well just go to the Bible and find the real news. But if you do watch the news, you could easily be put into a state of fear easily. And you might start to think, oh no, what is the future going to hold? Oh no, how is this going to work out? Oh no, everything's so bad. Or you might even find yourself in a storm. Maybe there's a pressure going on in your life even right now, and you're losing your peace because fear is gripping you. That's what happened to the disciples when they were in the boat and a storm arose and they got all fearful. And Jesus was in the boat even, but they were still afraid because their mind wasn't on him. But thanksgiving, when you raise up a voice of thanksgiving in the midst of any storm, peace will come. It really will. You know, it's just like, Jesus, I thank you that you're with me right now. I thank you, Jesus, that you've got this problem under your control. That you are bigger than I am. I'm so grateful that all the power in the universe is in you. And you start to think on him and be thankful for all that he is. And all of a sudden that shalom. Now shalom is so powerful because it's nothing missing, nothing broken, freedom from accident, freedom from mishap, all of that. And that shalom will come when you start to be thankful. The next time you feel terror, the next time that you feel fearful in any way, don't be anxious. It says be anxious for absolutely nothing because anxiety doesn't change a thing. It just invites the devil into the program, right? And so when we're thankful, it brings God and his peace on the scene. The third benefit is Thanksgiving introduces you to the goodness and the everlasting love of God. And Psalm 136:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. And it's so beautiful when you start to look upon the Lord and be thankful for him. All of a sudden, you see, thankfulness and good thoughts go together. You know, thankfulness and bad thoughts don't gel, right? They don't merge. Have you ever realized that? So you can't be thankful and negative at the same time. It's one or the other. So when you're thankful then, you start to come into a realization of the goodness of God and his love that is eternal. That eternal love comes to mind. And when that comes to mind, it starts to work within you. The fourth benefit is thanksgiving is testimony. It's testimony. And in Revelation 12:11, it says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And I have discovered that testimony of the Lord's goodness and of his benefits in my life intrigue people. They love to hear about it. In fact, I remember as a brand new Christian, I was just born again hours previous, I just went out and started telling the whole world, everyone I could find, my neighbors, the people I was in the New Age with and everything. I just told them what the Lord did for me. You know, I was just hours old in the Lord. And I said, last night, Jesus came into my heart and he forgave me of all my sin and he can forgive yours too. He took away all my guilt, all my shame. He could do that for you too. And all I had was this testimony of what I was so grateful for. I was so thankful. I cried all night when Jesus came into my heart because I was so grateful. I couldn't get over that he would love me so perfectly and so purely. And I couldn't help but tell everyone about it. And they were intrigued. They had all kinds of questions to ask me that I didn't have all the answers for at the time. I made up a few just because I thought, well, maybe that's an answer. I don't know. But I was just so excited to share what God had done. And when you're thankful for what God does, you'll start speaking testimony of his goodness. And when you do that, people will be touched by it, but also it makes room in your life for him to do it again and to do even more. That's the way testimony works. In Psalm 105:1, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. And I just want to say is that you can express your thankfulness, the testimony of what you are thankful for, over social media every single day. And that word will get out there and it will touch someone's heart and they will come to know Jesus through your testimony. I have a little social media mandate that I work on. It's called My Jesus Stories. And basically what it is giving thanks to the Lord for things that he's done in my life. They're all testimonies of what he's done. And then I offer opportunity for people to give their lives to the Lord. And every single time people give their lives to the Lord, every single time, it's just by sharing what I'm grateful for and the good things he's done. And most of the time, those things are in the midst of difficult, challenging situations. But then he turns it around because when you look to him and have an expectation for something good to happen, he does the good and then you're thankful and it just makes room for more and more and more. The fifth benefit is thanksgiving is an act of faith and it actually creates faith. So Colossians 4:2, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Prayer does not make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. Okay? So when we approach God, it's ridiculous to approach him with requests or whatever if we don't believe, because it says in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith, we cannot please him. Because he who comes to God must first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? So when we go to make requests of our Father, if we're going to make requests just by lip service and we don't even believe a word of it, it's kind of stupid, you know? It's like probably best not to make a prayer at all. But if you're struggling to believe, thanksgiving will push you into faith. So if you have a need, let's say, for example, that you have a financial need. You've got a bill on your table that is bigger than your bank account, okay? Than what's in your bank account. And you're thinking, I don't have the means to pay this bill. But you go before the Lord and you say, God, I know that you've got it, but I'm just not quite connecting to the reality of maybe it's going to happen for me. I'd like to request of you that this bill is paid. So you can pray that way. Lord, I just pray that you pay this bill for me. Give me the funds to pay this bill. And you can make requests of him. You can do that. And when you do that in faith, then it connects to the promise of God, and then he begins to manifest what you're believing for. But what I found accelerates faith and creates faith is when you turn your prayer into thanksgiving. And when you say, God, I thank you that this need is met. I thank you, Lord, that this need is met. I just receive it by faith already, and I thank you for the outcome. I thank you, Lord, that this bill is paid. Thank you, Lord, that my bank account is full. And there's something about thanksgiving that carries a greater weight of faith than request. Both are good, but there's something about thanksgiving that will push you into a faith realm where miracles happen. Miracles happen when you believe God, and thanksgiving creates faith. The sixth benefit is thanksgiving puts you in the center of God's will. A lot of times, oh, if only I could be in God's will. If only I could just be in God's will. Oh, if only I knew what his will is and I could be in his will. Well, guess what? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Notice it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So no matter what your circumstance, it could be, you know, something fantastic is happening in your life. Give thanks in that circumstance, but it could be disaster is happening, and we're to give thanks in that circumstance, not for it, in it. Why? Because when you give thanks in it, it'll explode into a victory for you. And God's saying, when you enter into thanksgiving in all things, that's my will for you. That's my will. So we can say, yay, I'm fulfilling God's will for my life. I'm just a really thankful person. I'm thankful for everything. In the midst of everything, I'm thankful. And we'll be finding that we're right in the midst of God's will when we are operating in thanksgiving. It's awesome. And Jesus taught us to pray that way. He said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's thanksgiving in heaven, and when you have thanksgiving in earth, no matter what's going on in your midst, you are in the will of God, and it'll manifest his glory when you do that. Number 7, thanksgiving raises up a standard against grumbling and complaining. You know, in social media today, you got all those little, you know, reactions. You know, you got the thumbs up, the heart, the care, the thumbs down, the exclamation mark. This is thumbs down. Grumbling and complaining is thumbs down, right? Just remember that. Every moment of every day. Thanksgiving raises up a standard against grumbling and complaining and releases an atmosphere of blessing and miracles. Thanksgiving creates a realm of miracles. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, 47 and 48, I won't bother reading it. It's up on the screen for you if you want to read it. But basically, it says there that curses come upon us when we're in a place of grumbling and complaining. Blessings come upon us when we are rejoicing in the Lord. And it says, when you do not serve the Lord with gladness or with a thankful heart, then you're setting yourself up for curse. So there's this negative world that the devil has created that's full of grumbling, complaining, negativity, all that stuff. But in the kingdom, it's the opposite. And what connects you to that realm is thanksgiving. And thanksgiving, when you choose thanksgiving, it actually overpowers negativity just like that. Now, remember the Israelites, they're in the wilderness. God led them in the wilderness to get to the what? The promised land. We're not always in a wilderness. Just remember that, unless you decide to stay there. And what keeps you in the wilderness is negativity, grumbling and complaining. But thanksgiving gets you through really quick. Thanksgiving will accelerate your journey. And so the Israelites, there they were, having all the blessings of God, but they couldn't see it. You see, when you're blinded to thanksgiving, you won't see the blessings that he has for you. When you choose to grumble and complain, there could be blessings right in the midst of you, and you wouldn't even see it for looking at it, because negativity blinds you, but thanksgiving opens your eyes. So there's the Israelites going through. They are the most blessed people. I wish I had a wilderness like that, where you have manna falling from heaven every single day, where you have water gushing out of a rock, you know, where you have quail falling from the sky, you know, like, you know, Cornish game hens, just like that, right? And they have presence. They have this tent of meeting where the moment they step in, the glory comes and God meets face to face. They had that offered to them. You know what? We see evidence that Moses went into that tent of meeting. We see evidence that Joshua went into that meeting. But you know what? Everyone was invited in. Everyone. But most of them, from what we can see, they just stood outside the tent and watched Moses and Joshua go in. They never entered themselves. You see, you can enter into the realm of glory by thanksgiving. Or you can grumble and complain and not even see the goodness of God. They had the glory. They had a fire by night. They had a pillar of fire to keep them warm at night, to bring light to their path. They had the pillar of cloud by day. It was like built-in air conditioning in the wilderness. They had the glory with them, and they were not thankful. They grumbled and complained. And they even wanted to, you know, annihilate Moses and his leadership and all of that, because they couldn't see the blessing in front of them. They were not thankful. And I remember, probably a number of you have heard this story, but I love the story, so I'll share it again. We were on a mission field, and my husband and I were invited to go and be on a team in this particular mission field. We were invited to be part of the leadership of setting up a brand new school in this area. It was a, you know, pioneer level breaking ground territory. I just love that. And so we gave them our yes. But when we got down there, the leadership that was offered me was to be in charge of the kitchen. And I thought it was going to be evangelism. I thought I was going to be leading evangelism teams. They said, no, what we really need is you in the kitchen. So I thought, okay. And then they said to me, and by the way, you have a faith budget. I said, oh, what's a faith budget? And they said, you have to believe for the food. You have to believe for the food. I said, so you're telling me that there's no money then? This was my original faith dish, yeah. I said, so there's no money for it. Then, is that what you're saying? Oh, no, there is. It's just that you have to believe for it. I thought, got it. Okay. So I had to feed 50 people three meals a day. And I worked in the kitchen from first thing in the morning, like 5:30 in the morning, through till 10, 10:30 at night. And I mean, without food, I mean, without money available to go buy the food. And so I did my very, very best with what we had, but no one else thought it was my best. And so there was a lot of grumbling and complaining. And because we had a lot of high carbohydrate food available to us, a disaster took place. The women got fat. But you see, men, they need a lot of protein to keep their weight. And they got skinny because there was hardly any protein. So the women were fat, the men were skinny. The men's belts were all cinched up to hold their pants up. And the women were, you know, busting out of their clothes. And they were not happy with me. And the camp was full of grumbling and complaining. It was negative. Every meal, no matter how hard I tried to make the best meal ever, there was nothing but complaint about it. And it broke my heart. I thought, Lord, I'm trying my very best. I mean, we were praying about what, you know, leaves to get out of the wilderness to be, you know, there was jungle everywhere. So we did that. And we had this guy that we called Jungle Joe. He was one of the team members down there. And he used to shoot iguanas. Big, big lizards. I mean, these things, they were like, with their tail and everything, they were like 7 feet long, some of them. And they were, you know, they call them bamboo chicken because they're supposed to taste like chicken, but they don't. People just tell you they taste like chicken. They honestly don't. And so we tried to steam cook them, everything that we could do, and they were horrible. And of course, more complaints, complain, complain, complain. No matter what you try to do, just more complaints. We tried everything. We were given flour by a local company. They had the bottom of the bin, so they let us go and collect it. But the thing is, there was weevils in the flour and these larvae. So we had to pick out the larvae. We had to strain out and pick out the larvae and all the weevils that were in there. We had rice, the same thing. You know, we got it for free, so hey. And the odd one got through. You know, just sanctified protein, right? So anyways, you got the picture, right? There's just a whole bunch of negativity in the camp. Fat women, skinny men, and ugly meals. So one day, I'm making bread in this weevil sifted out flour, and I'm crying. Salt in the tears was good because we were out of salt. And I was just crying. I said, oh God, they all hate me. They all hate me. And the more I try, it's just like the less food we have. I don't know what to do. And I'm doing my best. And I was bawling and squalling before the Lord. And he said, the problem is that there's no Thanksgiving. What's cutting off the supply is murmuring and complaining. And all of a sudden it was like, ding, ding, ding. This heavy revy came into my mind. I thought, this is amazing. I've got the answer. So there I was. I had flour all over me. I go up into the place where they're all having a meeting. And I said, excuse me, but the Lord has just spoken to me. And I said, you know how you are discouraged about all the food? And they said, oh yeah, amen, sister, we get that, you know. I said, well, I've got a key from the Lord. He says the reason why we're not getting the breakthrough of resource that we need for food, all the provision we need, is because of murmuring and complaining. It just felt so good to deliver that word. I tried not to show my joy too much. But yes. And so they came under conviction. There was a lot of teaching in that particular mission field about conviction. So they came under conviction. And one by one, they were repenting and, you know, changing their mind about it all, asking forgiveness. I said, yes, of course, I forgive you. But, you know, ask forgiveness of the Lord, too, because he's, you know, wanting to bring breakthrough. So we come out of that meeting, go down for lunch that day, and the whole atmosphere of the camp had changed. The fat women were praising God. The skinny men were praising God. And everyone's being thankful. And they were just having fun, like rice and beans. We ate a lot of rice and beans. But they would pick up this little bean and say, "Oh, Lord, we're so thankful for this bean. Thank you so much." And it was just like we'd laugh and, you know, just have fun. But the whole atmosphere in the camp changed overnight, like in moments, because of repenting from murmuring and complaining. And then all of a sudden having eyes opened up to see what we could be thankful for. Well, then the miracles began. And within 24 hours, the first miracle, the next day these cowboys came in on their horses, pulling behind them a big cow that was full of milk. And they said, "Our master told us to bring you this cow. He wants to give it to the Lord. And so this cow is now yours. So now we have a cow that's full of milk. I never milked a cow before. It looked easy enough, but believe me, it's not. It is. There's a trick to it, and you got to figure out the trick and remain in thanksgiving while you're learning, right? But anyways, good old Bessie, she gave us a lot of milk every single day. We made butter. Oh, my goodness. Whipping cream. We had, I mean, it was just a blessing. All the children got real milk right from the cow. It was just crazy awesome. So now we have the cow. Then within the next 24 hours, we get another messenger coming from a man who owned the meat market in town. And he said, "My master said to come and tell you that he wants to give to your mission 15 kilos of hamburger a week." And that's over, what, 35 pounds, you know, of hamburger a week. Now, you need to understand that we were kind of, you know, probably you call it vegan up until then, not because we wanted to be, but you know, it was just that there was, outside of Iguana, there wasn't much offered. And I remember that when we would have what we called a love feast once a month, we would try to make our best meal possible and invite people in from the community, build relationship with people in the community. And every time we would have a love feast, I'd try to believe for, like, you know, some sort of meat or something other than iguana, and I'd save up for it. And usually it was a little piece of chicken or a little piece of fish or something like that. So this particular month, I remember cooking the chicken, and we cut them up in real small pieces and cooked them all so that everybody could have a little bit. And I had them out on the platter, and everyone would dress up for these love feasts. We would just wear our best clothes, and everybody would wait outside. We had, dirt floors, and we raked the dirt, made it look nice. We washed our bedding and put them out as tablecloths and picked flowers from the jungle and made it look as beautiful as we possibly could, and then had this meal. And then we did a special program afterwards. And we always looked forward to it as the most favorite time of the month for the whole team. So they would wait outside for the doors to open. And before they would open, we would get all the platters of food ready, myself and my little team that I worked with. And we would put them out on the tables and then escort people to the tables. It was a very nice time. But everyone was waiting, and everyone liked me that day at Love Feast Day. They liked me because they could smell the chicken or the fish. They knew something was good, and they knew that they should be nice to me on those days. So they're all out there waiting to get in, and I look at the platters of chicken, and they're full of ants. An army of ants had come up the table of the preparation table and had infested the platters of chicken, like hundreds of ants. I was trying to pick them off, but you couldn't pick them off fast enough. They were just, and it's not like you can spray, you know, bug killer on them or anything. I didn't know what to do. I just was like, "Rapture me now, Lord. If they didn't hate me before, they're going to hate me now, right? If they didn't grumble before, they'll grumble now because the meat's ruined. Their little piece of chicken that they look forward to every month is gone." I said, "I don't know what to do, Lord. What do I do?" And he said, "Here's the solution. Turn up the oven to as high as it would go." We had a propane-fueled oven. And he said, put the chicken back in there and fry those little guys. So that's what I did. I put them back in with the bugs on them. And they, you know, cooked fast. And when it came out, it just looked like little crumbs of chicken coating. We served it as is, because what else are you going to do? Try to shake every little piece off. And so we served it, and only me and the three girls that helped me in the kitchen knew. And I said, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone about this. This is our little secret. And so we kept it a secret for 3 months. And then when the class graduated, then we told the story, and they're all like, what? But now, we're getting 15 kilos of hamburger every single week. You understand how big that is, right? And so we got that, and then a whole group from Portland, Oregon, came down in a big bus and had USDA agricultural products filling the bus. And, I mean, we had enough stock to last us a year. Canned goods, we had peanut butter. I mean, believe it or not, that was a rarity. But I mean, it was just amazing. But the provision kept coming. But what made the difference was Thanksgiving. All the grumbling and complaining went. And it was a good lesson for all of us. And one that I've remembered. Because when the going gets tough and you think it's tough, it's not as tough as you think. Number one, there's always someone worse off than you. And there's always something to be thankful for, but you'll never see it if you're grumbling and complaining. You'll only see the lack if you grumble and complain. But when you step into thanksgiving, you see the goodness of God. And that's what opens up for miracles and miracle shifts. And I could tell you story after story after story in my own life where I recognized a murmuring heart in myself and say, whoa, just a minute. What are you doing here? You've got to be thankful. I remember one time when my husband and I were learning how to live by faith with no visible means of financial support. I had no milk for the children that day, and I started grumbling. I said, God, we're serving the Lord with all of our hearts. We're serving you with everything that we have. We've given up everything to serve you, you know, all that kind of bawling and squalling stuff, right? And I said, and my children, we don't even have milk for the children. Even the heathens' children are doing better than mine, right? So I'm in this place of grumbling. And he said to me, you're grumbling. And so I thought, oh, okay. And I knew exactly what to do. So I went to the sink and I turned on the water and I said, praise the Lord. Jesus, we have water. And you can turn water into wine. You could certainly turn water into milk, you know. And I went, opened up all the cupboards and I said, thank you for the plates and the glasses and the cutlery. Because even if we had food, at least we'd have something to eat off, you know. And I started thanking him for every single thing that we had. And about 20 minutes had passed and I'm just happy now because Thanksgiving will bring joy to you. So I'm not grumbling and complaining anymore, and I'm not negative anymore. I'm really happy. I've got water coming out of the faucet. And all of a sudden, the doorbell rings, and I open up the door, and there's a woman standing there that I had hardly known before. And she's a good friend of mine now. We've been friends for many years now. But there she was standing with a big gallon of fresh farm milk. And she says, Patricia, I don't know, like I feel kind of silly, but I was up at the farm getting my milk for the family, and I think the Lord told me I was supposed to buy you a gallon. Can you use any milk? This was not any ordinary milk. This was milk that had just been gotten out of the cow with the cream on top and everything. That's what Thanksgiving did. Thanksgiving gave us a new house when we thought we'd be stuck in a confined area for the rest of our lives. I was negative over the house. I think, it's so crowded and it doesn't fit our needs anymore. And we're stuck here and I can't see our way out of this place. And the Lord said, hello, grumbling and complaining. Oh, yeah. need to learn that lesson again. And I started thanking him. I went through every single room in the house. I said, thank you, Lord, for this house. Thank you, Lord, for everything in it. Thank you for the furniture. Thank you for the dirty carpet. Thank you for, at least we have carpet, you know, at least we have a floor. And I just started thanking him for everything. And do you know that within 6 months, we got our dream house? Oh, yeah. Well, I have some more points. Maybe I'll just give them to you real quick. Number 8, thanksgiving gives birth to joy. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And you know what? Joy is strength. When you get joy, you've got strength to get through anything. A thankful heart is a happy heart. Harvard Health put out this in an article. It says, in positive psychology research, gratitude or thanksgiving is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Thankfulness helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experience, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. Make sure families happier when there's Thanksgiving. That's a good practice for your family. Just say, yep, we're a no grumbling zone. None here, only Thanksgiving. Okay, number 9, Thanksgiving reminds you of his goodness. You become goodness focused, and whatever you focus on, that's what you empower. So you empower the goodness of God in your life. In Psalm 105, 1-5, David would say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Isn't that Psalm 103? Yeah, sorry about that typo. Okay, and then number 10, finally, thanksgiving sustains miracles. I've given you the reference, Luke 17, 11-19, and it's about the 10 lepers. Remember, the 10 lepers were cleansed. Only one came back and was thankful, only one. But that one received the further blessing of not only having leprosy removed, but was put into perfect health. He got his health back, not just the leprosy healed. So it'll always take you deeper when you go into Thanksgiving. It's so important that we remember to be thankful. Let's close with this. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. When should we be thankful? Always. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. At 3:00 this morning, I had to get up and tend to a situation that was an invitation to grumble and complain. I'll just put it that way. Especially when you're tired and you've got to do something that is not pleasant in the middle of the night. It could be a temptation to grumble and complain. But the Lord said, I just want you to be thankful. So I looked after the situation. I said, I thank you, Lord, that I'm able to look after this situation. I'm thankful that I have the stamina. I'm thankful that I have the grace. I'm thankful that I have the strength. I'm thankful that I have you. And then I couldn't get back to sleep after. So I went into my family room and put on some worship. And one of the songs I just sang over and over again, it was a really old chorus, give thanks with a grateful heart. And I just like, oh, I filled the house with fragrance. It was so beautiful. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. You know, give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. We have so much to be thankful for. And I felt strengthened and fortified. I wasn't tired when I started my day at 3:00 in the morning because thanksgiving just gives you the strength that you need. When do we need to be thankful? All the time. When things are going well, when God is showing and manifesting his goodness, and even in the midst of warfare, when the enemy is giving you everything, both barrels, that's the time to be thankful. And it'll shift the atmosphere, and your life will be inside of a bubble and a dome of the glory of God. Amen? So I want to ask you to do something right now, because I know that we're all, you know, I think that we all slip from time to time, right? Do we? Is there anyone who doesn't? Just because I'll let you lead this time of prayer. I'm probably the most unqualified to lead this, but God qualifies us, right? And I'm so thankful for that. Okay. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we ask forgiveness for every time that we have been negative, murmuring, complaining, focused on the problems. And we ask, Lord God, that you would cleanse us and forgive us, and that you would switch our brain even right now into a position of thankfulness. Now, I want you to think of one thing that might have been something that you've been grumbling or complaining over, and start being thankful. And it could be something as simple as, you know, maybe you cooked something on Thanksgiving Day and it didn't turn out the way that you wanted to. Maybe there was lumps in the gravy. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Oh, these lumps are amazing, Lord. Thank you. Let's just turn it. Let's just flip it. Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. And we ask, Lord God, that you would fill us with a heart of thanksgiving all of our days. And you might be here today, or you might be watching and you think, my life is such a mess. And you don't know Jesus. And you're thinking, I need to be thankful. But right now, my life is such a mess. And that's where I was 47 years ago or so. That's where I was. And in a moment, everything changed, and I had so much to be thankful for because God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to forgive me of all my sin and to give me a brand new life. And he's here to give you a brand new life too. And maybe you've been away from him. Maybe your heart's been running in a different direction. You say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but your heart's not with him. And he's saying, would you come back? Would you come back to me and let me fill you with good things? You know, and just as we're all waiting on the Lord for him to search our own hearts, if you're here this morning, and I don't know all of you here this morning, maybe you're here and you feel like, yeah, I want to come back to Jesus today. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want a fresh beginning today. Could you put up your hand so I could see you? Because I'd be happy to pray for you. Thank you. I see that. Anyone else? Anyone else, you want to give your heart fully to Jesus? Come back to Jesus. If you're watching online, just write in the comments section, I need Jesus. If this is you, just write, I need Jesus, because we're going to pray for Jesus to come and fill you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, see that hand. Thank you, Father. Let's all pray together. And as you pray this, pray it with sincerity. Lord Jesus, we have so much to be thankful for because you are our Savior and you died on the cross for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart afresh today and be my Lord and my personal Savior. Fill me with a thankful heart and give me a brand new beginning. Thank you, Lord, that you have written my name in your book of life. I belong to you. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your voice in thanksgiving right now. Lift up your voice in thanksgiving. And if you gave your life to Jesus Christ today, we have a gift that we want to give to you. And please write me at jesus@patriciaking.com, because I want to pray for you and I want to give you some material. And also findingjesus.me is a site that you can go to and get some real, you know, beginner level teaching on how to walk with God. So love for you to just access that site and just get your beginnings and let us know, because we'd like to reach out to you. God bless you.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.